live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, I'm Michaela Clark with the news at 5 o'clock. Coming up in this bulletin, latest figures have revealed that 388 women from Donegal travelled to the UK for an abortion. An investment of €2.4 million has been secured in former NAMA-owned properties in Remelton. A Westron MLA claims an unnecessary A5 legal challenge is costing the public thousands of pounds. And a motion calling for the old Cockhill Bridge in Buncrana to be reopened to local traffic one way has received unanimous support from Inishowen councillors. Those stories to follow in full, and we'll have the latest in sport with Oisin Kelly at about 5:15. But first in news, a national director in the HSE has admitted none of the assurance systems in the health service worked to alert them women were not being told about the audits of their cancer smear tests. The Oireachtas Health Committee has also heard there was a clear failure to escalate the issue with a cervical check. Meanwhile, questions have been raised about whether or not the Chief Medical Officer's knowledge of the cervical check disclosure policy influenced his advice to the Health Minister. Donegal Deputy Pearce Doherty says it's important to know the nature of the advice when he raised the issue during leaders' questions.
If the Chief Medical Officer knew of the surrounding issues in relation to cervical check, how and why he did not inform the Minister of the issues at the time, as has been claimed by the Minister. As the lead medical expert in the Department of Health, that is his duty, that is his responsibility, it is his job to advise and to inform the Minister. The fact that he claims not to have raised these matters with the Minister raises profound and serious questions.
Latest figures have revealed that 388 women from Donegal travelled to the UK for an abortion. The figures from the Department of Health and Social Care in the UK show that a total of 18,112 women in Ireland travelled to the UK for an abortion between 2012 and 2016. The figures include women who gave an Irish address when they attended a UK hospital or clinic and 2,860 who decided not to provide an address. They do not include women in each county who have taken an abortion pill or who may have travelled to another jurisdiction. A motion calling for the old Cockhill Bridge to be reopened to local traffic one way has received unanimous support from Inishowen councillors. At present, planning permission states that the old Cockhill Bridge would be pedestrianised, but Councillor Rena Donaghy says she would like to see it open to one-way traffic with a footpath to ease access to local amenities. She says a senior engineer with Donegal County Council has committed to review the situation.
I have met with the local engineer and I have asked him, could we think about having Cockhill Bridge one way from the Tullyarvan area. The school is in that area, the church is in that area, the football pitches and all are in that area. And if the Cockhill Bridge could be one way with a footpath on it, it would solve an awful lot of problems. Now, I know and I fully understand what the engineer has explained to me. We don't have planning permission for that at the minute, but he has given me an assurance and a guarantee that when the bridge is up and running and opened and everything going well, and thankfully it is going well, he is going to look at it then again. He has already spoken to Road Design about it and they have said the same, that there's no planning permission currently for it, but they will review it in a month's time and they'll take it down from there. I would love to see the bridge. I'd love for Cullen's shop benefit. They've been there in business for a long, long time. I have spoken to them about that and I would love to see the bridge made one way with a footpath on it.
Important from your point of view that the local people do get a say in that, that there be some sort of consultation locally. You've already done some informally yourself. Would you like to see the council do so formally just to make sure that what happens really does reflect what the community wants?
Yes, the Cockhill Bridge is mainly about the Cockhill people and particularly the pedestrianised bridge. They're the ones that will be using it mainly and I think they are the ones that need to be consulted and have their say, and I have spoken to a number of them already from time to time since the bridge started. So yes, I think the people in Cockhill are the ones that have the say on this.
An investment of €2.4 million has been secured in former NAMA-owned properties in Remelton. Under the Rebuilding Ireland programme, the scheme will deliver 20 new social houses at Reardon Cuan, made up of 15 three-bedroom and 5 four-bedroom houses. The houses were at various stages of development but have been weatherproof for several years, with substantial improvement works planned, with the hope that the properties will be ready to accommodate families early next year. Government Chief Whip Minister Joe McHugh says the houses will become quality homes for families and other people in need in County Donegal. Galway City Council tops Ireland's first National Integrity Index for local authorities. Transparency International Ireland has ranked Ireland's 31 councils based on three criteria: transparency, accountability and ethics. Galway had an overall score of 21 out of 30, or 70%. Conversely, Donegal County Council scored a total of 13 out of 30, or 43%. That is broken down into a transparency score of 33%, an ethics score of 38%, and an accountability score of 60%. Transparency International Ireland Advocacy and Research Coordinator Kelly McCarthy says a lot of councils need to do more.
Yes, it's very interesting, because this just goes to show that, you know, you don't need to have loads of staff, you don't need to have massive budgets in order to promote transparency and in order to do, you know, a lot of taking the extra step that's required, whether it's posting more information online or making sure reports are up to date. It just shows that you don't need massive resources.
According to the Environmental Protection Agency's latest bathing water quality report, 93% of Ireland's bathing waters meet EU standards. However, surface water drainage and sewage discharge are some of the main causes of water contamination across the country. With a look at how Donegal fared, here's Catherine Gaffney.
Most of the county's beaches were deemed excellent in the latest report, with some E. coli levels appearing to be more variable in 2016 and 2017 than years previous. The EPA say that most Donegal waters continue to be of extremely high quality, with few pollution sources or events identified. Both Lisfannan and Port na Blah were deemed good, just missing out on excellent rating due to enterococci counts. Rathmullen has shown more variable water quality since 2016 when compared to earlier years, particularly for E. coli, and also falls into the good category. Both Dewey and Maharorty beaches were new in 2015 and await sufficient samples for full classification. Indications are that excellent quality is likely to be achieved. Ladies Bay and Buncrana was deemed sufficient. According to the EPA, the beach appears to exhibit some low-level pollution, possibly arising from storm overflow discharges.
Letterkenny Chamber is holding a number of consultation workshops later this month in preparation for the new Letterkenny Town Plan. In conjunction with Donegal County Council, the workshops will be the beginning of a dialogue concerning the development of the town into the future ahead of formal consultations. An introductory workshop will be held on Tuesday the 22nd of May and a town-focused workshop on Tuesday the 29th. CEO of Letterkenny Chamber, Tony Forster, says it's about catering for the needs of the community and future generations.
The consultation will open later, a more formal consultation, but council wanted to get out and really talk to anybody who's interested in, particularly the business community, to find out what their feelings are about the new year, I suppose, what we're looking into for Letterkenny. Letterkenny has ambitions to grow its population to 35,000. There's no real timescale on that, but that will have implications for how the town grows and how we develop our infrastructure, etc. This idea was to try and really just talk to everybody who's involved, and as people who use the town, who have land in the town, and who really just operate within Letterkenny or use the town on a daily basis. And we'd love to talk to as many people as possible. It's going to be a fairly wide-ranging workshop. You know, that we look at the maps, the actual map that the town has, and look at bits of land that are available, and really do a bit of blue sky thinking, for want of a better word, to how the town will operate.
And as you said, it's about now entering into a new era, so it is vital that people are up to date and know what is happening.
There's been a lot of consultations recently. There's been a few consultations about Tentee Roads and Leck Road and things like that. This is a wee bit more of a step back and looking at how the town could develop. It's not just a plan, you know, it's not just a plan on paper. We would hope this would be something that the community will own. And there's other workshops happening as well, you know, that with the community sector. So we really, I suppose, the council are trying to get out there and really engage so that people feel that they know what might be happening in the town in the future. You know, it's their town and their children's town at the end of the day. We want to make it as good as possible for the future.
Donegal's fishing community is being urged to engage in a Department of the Marine public consultation, which is currently underway. Donegal Deputy Thomas Pringle says bigger boats have been trawling within the 6 nautical mile zone, which is negatively impacting on smaller vessels, with the aim of the consultation to restrict access to the bigger vessels in inshore waters, ensuring fish will be more available to local fishermen. Deputy Pringle is urging anyone who has concerns to have their say before the June 11th deadline. It's been put to Superintendent Dave Taylor that he was anxious to do down former Commissioner Noreen O'Sullivan. The former Garda press officer has denied calling Commissioner O'Sullivan a liar with an agenda against him. Asked if Noreen O'Sullivan had a deliberate vendetta against him, Superintendent Taylor said he couldn't be certain, but it was probable. Juliette Gash reports.
The Disclosures Tribunal is currently investigating whether Garda management ordered Dave Taylor to smear Maurice McCabe to journalists. In 2015, Superintendent Taylor was suspended from duty as he was investigated for unauthorised leaks to journalists. One of the investigators was the husband of Noreen O'Sullivan, Jim McGowan. Despite going to the High Court to try and stop the investigation, Superintendent Taylor says he now accepts it was legitimate. But he's admitted telling Independent TD Mick Wallace that Noreen O'Sullivan's husband was involved in the investigation. Asked by Tribunal Chairman Peter Charlton if he thought it was a campaign to annoy him or personalise things, or if Commissioner O'Sullivan had a deliberate vendetta, Superintendent Taylor said he couldn't say for certain, but accepted it was a probability. Counsel for the Commissioners put it to Superintendent Taylor that he was anxious to do down Noreen O'Sullivan, and that he came up with an allegation about a smear campaign and included Martin Callanan in it. Superintendent Taylor said he didn't accept the point he was making. Juliette Gash at the Disclosures Tribunal.
There were 30 people awaiting admission to Letterkenny University Hospital this morning, according to the INMO. 7 people were on trolleys in its emergency department, while a further 23 were waiting on wards. It's 2 up on yesterday's figure of 28. Tallaght Hospital was the most overcrowded today, with 44 people waiting there. Nationally, there were 509 people waiting at hospitals across the country. An unnecessary A5 legal challenge is costing the public hundreds of thousands. That's according to West Tyrone MLA Daniel McCrossan, who was responding to news from the Permanent Secretary of the Department of Infrastructure, Peter May, that the A5 legal bill is anticipated to cost upwards of £350,000. Mr. McCrossan says that this is not only a waste of public resources, but it's also stalling a vital piece of infrastructure for the North West.
The people that are causing and continuing to object to this vital roads project, the A5, are doing 2 things. They're wasting public money and they're wasting the public's time. This project has to go ahead. These people will not succeed. It's only a delaying tactic, and they're only costing the taxpayer huge amounts of money, unjustifiable amounts of money, and they've no explanation put out publicly as to why they're continuing on this reckless agenda of preventing or attempting to prevent this vital roads project being the A5.
But you do have confidence in terms of phase one of this project going ahead later in the year.
I do. I've had a reassurance that the first phase, which was passed by a previous executive, will go ahead. The people of West Tyrone, the people of the North West, the people of Ireland who are concerned about the A5 and who feel very strongly about it. I know the Irish government feels strongly about it. We don't just want a piecemeal approach to the A5. We want the entire project delivered from Derry to Ballygolly, and it has to be delivered in its entirety. We want to see the first phase go ahead, absolutely, and it will happen, but we need to see the others follow suit. And my concern is in the absence of the Assembly, particularly after the ruling of the courts this week, that could be put in jeopardy.
Sport on Highland. Brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure. Gear up for brighter days with everything you need to get active this summer.
It's now 16 minutes past 5 and time for the latest sport with Oisin Kelly.
Thanks, Michaela. We start with soccer. Michael Duffy has been named the SSER Trustee Player of the Month for April. The 23-year-old chipped in with 3 goals as Dundalk made their way to the top of the Premier Division. It's the first time that the former Derry City man has won the monthly award. And winning that award, he saw off competition from Derry City's Aaron McAniff, who finished second, and Bohemians midfielder Dylan Watts was third. Cross channel, Trent Alexander-Arnold has capped off a remarkable season for Liverpool by being named in England's World Cup squad. The 19-year-old is not the only uncapped player included in the 23, with Gareth Southgate also calling up Burnley goalkeeper Nick Pope. Chelsea midfielder Ruben Loftus-Cheek gets the nod ahead of the likes of Jack Wilshere and the informed John Joe Shelby. There's also no room for Manchester United defender Chris Smalling. England begin their Group C campaign against Tunisia on June 18th. The changes at Everton continue at pace today. They've appointed Marcel Brands as their new director of football. Brands' appointment comes mere hours after the club sacked Sam Allardyce after just 6 months in charge of the club. Marco Silva is the favourite to replace Allardyce at Goodison. Meanwhile, Allardyce is just one of two managerial departures in the Premier League today, with West Ham also parting company with David Moyes. West Ham say they want to move in a different direction after the former Everton and Manchester United boss helped them avoid relegation. Lyon is the venue for tonight's Europa League final between Atletico Madrid and Marseille. The Spanish side are aiming to lift the trophy for the third time this decade. Kickoff is at 7:45. Local 8, 7 o'clock at Lakeview Park. Letterkenny Rovers are taking on Derry City Reserves tonight. That is in the Ulster Senior League. While in the Ulster Youth Cup, there's a fixture in the first round tonight as Bonagie United host Kilmacrenan Celtic. That is at 7:30 at the Dry Arch at Bonagie. In Gaelic Games, the countdown is very much on to the big Ulster Championship quarter-final tie this coming Sunday, where Tyrone take on Monaghan. These sides have met already this year, with Monaghan taking victory over the O'Neill County in a league encounter. Mark Bradley is hoping for a starting role for Tyrone this coming Sunday. He says preparations have gone well since the end of the league.
Yeah, great. Looking forward to it now. We've had our club league games there. We've had six club league games, so everyone's had football, there can be no excuses there, and training's been going great, so there's great buzz about the camp and just looking forward till Sunday week.
Will it take a big performance?
Without a doubt, massive performance, and you have to have everyone firing on all cylinders. There can be no one slacking on that day, so a fiery Ulster Championship, and it should be a good game.
Is the pressure on?
I wouldn't say so, no. I sort of, every team now puts pressure on themselves, so it's not so much about outside pressure, it's you put pressure on yourself to perform well, and there's no such pressure as such or redemption to be got from, if you had mentioned beforehand about redemption from Dublin, that's in the back of our minds, that's forgot about now and stored away, so no, I wouldn't say any added pressure.
That is Mark Bradley looking ahead to Tyrone's game with Monaghan this coming Sunday in the Championship. There's more from Mark available at highlandradio.com. Well, the crisis in Offaly football shows no signs of abating. A number of senior players are believed to have withdrawn from the panel in the wake of Sunday's Leinster Championship defeat to Wicklow. Tensions ran high between the players and the management of Stephen Wallace throughout Sunday's loss at O'Muir Park. On the ladies' front, the Lidl teams of the 2018 National Football League were revealed this week. The Division 1 team contains players from no fewer than six counties, and among them is Donegal. The Donegal trio named are Ciara Hegarty, Karen Guthrie and Yvonne Boner. Guthrie and Boner, along with Galway Sinead Burke, are the three survivors from the 2017 selection. In club football, the draw for the 2018 Derry Senior Football Championship was made yesterday evening in Own Beg. Defending champions Slough Neil have been drawn against O'Donovan Rossa in the first round. The Robert Emmett's club are gunning for five in a row Derry Senior titles this year. The last team other than Slough Neil to lift the John McLaughlin Cup was Ballanderry in 2013. They will take on Kilray in the opening series of games. The rest of the first round draws, Owen Roe Kilrain versus Glenullen, Greenlock against Newbridge, Ballinasgreen will face off with Bullahy. Lahey take on Dungiven. Swatra will meet Wadi Grahams, and Loop start against Clody. First round of games are the 7th to the 9th of September, with the final fixed for the 21st of October. And Rugby Ulster have a number of injury concerns heading into Sunday's Pro 14 playoff with the Ospreys. Captain Rory Best has been sent for scans after suffering a hamstring injury during training yesterday. Definitely out of the game is Ian Henderson, with a second row suffering from a knee issue. The winner of the playoff on Sunday will secure the final place in next season's Champions Cup on offer to Pro 14 sides. And former Ulster hooker Johnny Murphy is joining Connacht. The 26-year-old is an Ireland underage international and will leave the Rotherham Titans for the Western Province in the summer. Just finally, on to some schools action from today. In the soccer front, Carndonagh Community School ended the season with yet another trophy. The Inishowen side, who won the All-Ireland title last month, beat Loretto Milford 3-2 in the Senior League final for the Brendan Doherty Memorial Cup. The goal scorers for Cairn were Kieran Farn, Jack Doherty and Luke Rodden. Milford's scorers were Keelan McGrody and Matthew McLaughlin. While in the school's Gaelic Games front, Crana College in Buncrana won the Under-16 Vocational Schools B final today. They defeated St Catharines at the Convoy Centre of Excellence, running out 1-6-5 to the Killybegs 2-8. And that's it from the sports desk for the moment. Tom Comack, of course, will have the GA programme tonight here in Highland. Usual throw-in time is at 8 o'clock. And of course, on the agenda this evening, we'll be looking at the battles that Tyrone and Kevin had in recent times. And of course, look ahead to the battle which takes place on, or the battle which took place last week. And looking forward to, of course, Donegal's next encounter in the Championship. Plus, there is, of course, Tyrone against Monaghan happening as well. That's 8:30 tonight. I'll be back with the next bulletin tomorrow after 8.
Thanks, Oisin. An Inishowen councillor is questioning the commitment of Donegal County Council to Inishowen. At yesterday's meeting of the Inishowen Municipal District, two senior managers were not present and no replacements were sent. Councillor Bernard McGuinness says this raises questions over whether resolutions passed at the meeting will be implemented, and this is an issue he says that needs to be addressed.
I have to ask the question, and we have no senior management present, will the decisions we make today be implemented? Because I have quite a number of them, and I give examples of them in there at the meeting, but I don't consider they are. We took a decision at the last meeting, and it wasn't even recorded in the minutes. This is raising questions in my mind as to why serious municipal decisions are being taken. Maybe council is being restricted by government. I don't know, but I do need to know.
Finally, for weather now, dry and sunny for the rest of today. Moderate northeast winds will ease towards nightfall with lows of 2 to 4 degrees in light breezes. And just to have a look at the closing headlines, latest figures have revealed that 388 women from Donegal travelled to the UK for an abortion. The figures from the Department of Health and Social Care in the UK show that a total of 18,112 women in Ireland travelled to the UK for an abortion between 2012 and 2016. An investment of €2.4 million has been secured in former NAMA-owned properties in Remelton. Under the Rebuilding Ireland programme, the scheme will deliver 20 new social houses at Reardon Cuan, made up of 15 three-bedroom and 5 four-bedroom houses. Letterkenny Chamber is holding a number of consultation workshops later this month in preparation for the new Letterkenny Town Plan. In conjunction with Donegal County Council, the workshops will be the beginning of a dialogue concerning the development of the town into the future and ahead of formal consultations. And an unnecessary A5 legal challenge is costing the public hundreds of thousands. That's according to West Tyrone MLA Daniel McCrossan, who was responding to news from the Permanent Secretary of the Department of Infrastructure in the North that the A5 legal bill is anticipated to cost upwards of £350,000. And that's all from Highland Radio News for now. You can listen back to a podcast of our main evening news on our website, highlandradio.com. We'll be back with an update again at 6 o'clock. Until then, good evening. The obituary notice is for this Wednesday evening, May the 16th. The death has taken place of Michelle McGuigan, 17 St Mary's Drive, Strabane. Remains are reposing at her home this evening from 7 o'clock. Fiona leaving her home on Friday morning at 25 past 9 for Requiem Mass in St Mary's Church, Melmount at 10 o'clock. Interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family time please from 11 p.m. to 11 a.m. The death has taken place of Bertha McCluskey, Listillion and Letterkenny. Remains will be reposing at her late residence this evening from 6 o'clock. Funeral from there on Friday morning at 10:15, going to the Church of the Irish Martyrs, Letterkenny, for 11 o'clock funeral mass. Interment afterwards to Newleck Cemetery. Family time from 10 p.m. until 11 a.m. How strictly private on the morning of the funeral. Family flowers only, please.
The death has taken place of Liam Burke, Ballandrate, Bombeg and formerly of Portneuf. His remains are reposing at his residence in Bombeg. Funeral mass in St Mary's Church, Derrybeg on Friday afternoon at 1 o'clock. Burial afterwards in Maharagallan Cemetery. Rosary both nights at 9 o'clock. House private after the rosary until 11 a.m. and on the morning of the funeral. Family flowers only. Donations in lieu to the oncology ward, Letterkenny University Hospital, care of any family member or Kieran Rorty funeral director. The death has taken place of Nolene Murr, the common Rafoe and formerly of R.D. Newton Cunningham. Her remains are reposing at her parents' residence at R.D. Newton Cunningham. Funeral from there tomorrow afternoon at 2 o'clock for service in Newton Cunningham Parish Church at 2:30 and burial afterwards in the family plot in the adjoining churchyard. The death has taken place of James Woods, Glenleary, Remalton, formerly Seal, Manchester. Remains are reposing at the Eternal Light Funeral Home, Mountaintop, Letterkenny. Mass will be offered for the happy repose of the soul of James tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock in St Mary's Church, Remalton. Funeral will take place in Manchester. The death has taken place of Mary Gallagher, Ballygorman, Malinhead. Remains are reposing at her late residence. Funeral from there tomorrow morning at 10:30, going to the Star of the Sea Church, Malinhead, for Requiem Mass at 11 o'clock. Interment afterwards in Lag Cemetery, Malin. The death has taken place of Joanne Hegarty, Slieden, Buncrana. Her remains are reposing at her family home in Slieden, Buncrana. Funeral from there on Friday morning at 10:15, going to St Mary's Church, Cockhill, Buncrana, for Requiem Mass at 11 o'clock. Interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family flowers only. Donations in lieu to the oncology ward, Letterkenny University Hospital, care of any family member or Murphy funeral directors. Family time, please, only on the mornings of the wake until 11 a.m. and on the morning of the funeral. And the death has taken place of Maureen Baxter, Lower Kildraw, McKillay. Her remains are reposing at Kelly's Funeral Home, Oakfield, Rafoe, with removal from there at 6 o'clock this evening, going to the Immaculate Conception Church, Killay, to repose overnight. Requiem Mass tomorrow morning at 11 o'clock. Burial afterwards in the All Saints Church Cemetery, Newton Cunningham. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu of desire to the Donegal Hospice, Letterkenny, care of any family member.